And good morning. Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My name is Beth Pike, and on today's edition, our host Jessica Thomas is going to be welcoming Thomas Mundell back, and they're going to talk about meeting with President Obama in an effort to get veterans with PTSD access to cannabis. And then Amber Langston is also going to be in the studio, and she's of Show Me Cannabis, and she'll be in to update us on the efforts to legalize cannabis in Missouri. And we also have Eben Thampy from Americans for Forfeiture Reform in the studio. So stay tuned for that and for the calendar of events in the middle of the show. And then, of course, the 420 drug war news at the end of the show. But after these messages, we'll have Jessica and her guests.
Good morning and welcome to the Jaws of Justice. I'm Mike Wickham. Where am I this morning? Yeah, here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Jessica Thomas. In the studio with me, you may have already heard, we've got a group this morning. Amber Langston is with us with Show Me Cannabis in here reporting.
Hello, hello.
Here, let's, I see what we're doing here. And Tom Mundell. And Tom has got lots of great reports to go, and Eben Thampy. Eben is also a lobbyist, and he's lobbying hard over there.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's that radio thing. We got to talk. It's like, no. Really? So there was so much to catch up on, is why I brought these three gurus of what's happening in today, and there was lots of reasons for it. We have the full hour this hour, and in the second half of the hour, we were going to let people go ahead and call in if they had questions with us. But we're gonna start real quick with Amber, because I really wanted Amber to update us right quick. We had so much action happening last year. There was maybe four pieces of legislation sitting in front of, or had made it to the House. Got looked over. There was even a committee, I think, something made it to committee.
We had a lot of success this last legislative session, although we were subject to the shenanigans that everyone was subject to the last week. And unfortunately, a number of bills did not get passed through the Missouri General Assembly this last spring. You know, I can't even remember the number, because there were so many bills that were introduced this year related to cannabis. It was definitely a record. There were several different versions of medical bills. There were a couple of different legalization bills. We had
a CBD oil bill
That would have expanded the current CBD law to include other ailments besides epilepsy. It would have eased up on the restrictions a little bit for doctor recommendations on that, and would have allowed for up to 10 dispensaries instead of the two that there are right now. And that had a lot of traction. You know, obviously there's big support for CBD that we saw the year before, and we certainly would have gotten that passed had things not gotten a little bit crazy that last week. The other really big winner that we would have had is industrial hemp. We had a really pretty good industrial hemp bill that had a lot of support, you know, Republican-led effort there. You know, there's obviously a big recognition in the state for supporting farmers and this new industrial hemp industry, that we really could be not just a U.S. leader in industrial hemp, but really a global leader. I mean, our agriculture in Missouri is something that, you know,
we grow stuff here.
Yeah, it's kind of
good stuff. And not just that, but we actually at some point had been a leader in hemp industry.
Oh yeah, we were competitive with Kentucky before this was all made illegal as a leading hemp state. And I always like to point out the movie Hemp for Victory that the U.S. government produced during World War II.
Basically, go to jail if you don't grow hemp.
Yeah, they were like, farmers are going to grow hemp, and you've got to do it because that's the patriotic American thing to do for the war effort. And they, in the movie, they say, they mention Missouri and Kentucky as being ideal places to grow this crop.
So there was such a happening. We know that there was a CBD bill that did pass for one guy. For I think it was Duvet syndrome, was it not? Or
intractable epilepsy.
So what ended up happening? What I mean, nothing really passed through. So that did. Were there any improvements to that bill made? Or no?
No, it just, you know, it would have, okay, we would have gotten it through, but it was sitting, it made it through the House. Well, it was started in the Senate, made it through the Senate, passed the Senate, made it over to the House, made it through the committees,
did
and
you
was
hear
just
that?
Ready
it was just like
to
a whole
go
mess of
on the floor.
Kansas went, aww.
Yeah, I mean, it is so hard to get a bill that far, and there was, you know, a lot of support for it. We really... We were all unfortunate for the way things went this last session, but it wasn't us this time. It wasn't our issue that stopped it from going forward. It actually had the support, and that's pretty amazing.
And I've heard from other people, because I had gotten on one of those SMS messages, which means I'm sending this out to a bunch of people, from a store owner that says, I have petitions here. Anybody want to come and sign? So I'm not really familiar with what's up and where that's going. If that's an official, like, you could sign on it, or if they're taking signatures so they could, like, get back to people, say, now come and sign an actual official petition. Is there an official petition out there?
We don't have an official petition out there.
So I know Show Me Cannabis doesn't, but right. does someone? Does anyone?
There, I believe there's an effort for a full legalization, which
a full
it's
press.
The, it's the regulate.
It's the full
like,
Monty
tomatoes. Yeah,
it's the full
so,
Monty.
It's not something that we're supporting with Show Me Cannabis. I
show
think,
us
you
your
know,
bud.
A lot of us would really like to see a full legalization. You know, everybody's allowed to grow as much as they want, but it's not politically feasible from what, you know, we've researched. And so where we are right now is that we are working to put a very, very good medical bill on the ballot in November 2016. Unfortunately, our polling did not show enough robustness for us to be able to do the full legalization next year. But
someone is doing it, though.
Right.
Okay, so people need to know that. So there is a petition out there. If you want to go and sign on it, if you're believing in it, I think you should do it. I mean, it's like it's a better opportunity than none. You know, opportunity for it to gather some support and show people, like, it may not pass, but I think it's going to make a huge...
If it's written well.
Right. Well, no, what they've got going on right now is a total full Monty. It's like it's legalized. There's no limits to what you can grow. It's just saying, and honestly, myself personally, I think every man, woman, and child should have a right to have at least 10 of these plants, because one, this plant is the only thing we need to not only exist, but thrive. And it's in everything. We don't need anything else. I know it would be really boring food products, but you can make a lot of different things out of it. I'm just saying that I think it should be a basic human right to have those plants. So I'm saying, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do this and support people who are doing it. Let's see what happens. But, like, realistically, they're looking at something that's very liberal. And this is not your most liberal state. I thought they should maybe change this to Missouri Show Me Twice state.
Wow.
The Show Me Twice state, because they really have to be convinced of something.
Yeah. And I mean, I think symbolically it will be, you know, great to see what the numbers are of signatures that they get. It's really difficult to run a statewide campaign. I mean, it's the kind of thing, it takes millions of dollars.
It does.
And it no one gets anything. No one has ever gotten anything on the ballot with volunteers only. And that was something right. that, you know, when we tried to run a ballot initiative in 2012.
What state is the volunteer state?
Right. I don't know.
really, we should. I mean, and you know what? And I think that's just a challenge to anyone listening or anybody in Missouri is like, that's a challenge. Let's see if we can open up Missouri's minds, because that's really kind of what's going forward. But Show Me Cannabis is saying that they're going to try to get something for the 2016 ballot.
Yes. And we, because we had also really hoped to just put a full legalization measure on there, we weren't quite as prepared as we probably needed to be for the medical. But
it's just surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. we've also, you know, to that benefit, we've also got new players coming on board that kind of want to give their input. And so we want to make sure that they're part of the conversation as well. And
not just that, but Missouri businesses get an opportunity to apply for the licenses, not some Colorado company or any other state company coming in. It should be a Missouri. I mean, wouldn't that be a nice way to write legislation saying that you have to be a resident?
And
in order to have a license,
we're still working on the language, but they're including a provision that's
a nice thing to do
allows that does require at least some degree of residency, before you can have that license. So, nothing's set in stone yet, but we're working towards something that is as responsible as we feel like we can make it, and we've got good indication that there's a lot of support for medical in Missouri. It's really overwhelming.
So this is going to be just going to be a kick butt year for us. We're going to start this off. We're going to walk out the door. There'll be crowds of people going, we want to sign when we walk out there. So it's like,
we can't procrastinate though.
No, procrastinating doesn't really get us too far. But and so that's Tom Mundell speaking. Thank you, Amber. I know Tom, like, you've had some major successes from the first time that we had talked. And, we had so much resistance from our fearless leaders, Blunt and McCaskill, and, just to name a couple that in the area. But, Tom, you got to meet with people this year.
I've really come to the conclusion that, unfortunately, I've had a lot of experience in legislation working on veteran issues with these people, and I found that it's very important for us to not draw conclusions on how these legislators feel without educating them first. And a lot of times we look at these legislators, senators and representatives throughout the state, and we think that they're totally against us, or they're against whatever we may be for, or against whatever project. But in reality, they're not against it. They need to be educated. And we saw that in Colorado, a tremendous state that's went leap and bounds ahead of time and got everything legalized, but yet they ran into issues on what problems a human can have to actually get medicinal cannabis. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to expand that, but they did not educate the legislators when they went in to expand that bill, and they had no choice but to say no because no one educated them.
Right, they didn't know. And I think that the letters that we would get is like, myself, I write letters to my legislators.
Oh, yes.
Requesting. And I would think that the letter I would get back this time would be a little different of a response. Because in the past, I had gotten there wasn't enough medical research to prove efficacy. There wasn't enough, and I'm saying this is the most researched plant on the planet.
Forever. It's
oh,
true.
My goodness. And to think, a lot of people would say, well, when we get legalization up here, we're going to finally be able to study it. And maybe the U.S., but we are almost 70 years behind Israel in studies. And
eye-opening experience.
And almost every other country that has kept this open is ahead of the United States. The United States has just kind of fallen backwards a little bit on that technology degree. But I think our politicians are – you've had some great response. You even – had a great experience with meeting with the President of the United States of our America.
Yes. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about our esteemed leaders as well as our leader. But and I had a eye-opening experience myself, having believed what I heard on the radio and the TV and stuff like that, and even read online about what the President or his wife or some legislator possibly said. You need to find out the facts about these people, and they're not out to burn us. We may think they are, but in reality, if you get the opportunity to educate these people, and if anybody needed to be educated about this particular issue, I personally needed it. And once I got that education, and as Amber can tell you and Ethan, when we went to the expo in Colorado for the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo, we all got a heck of a education on what's really involved with this plant and what is ahead of us for our future. I really believe it's going to affect mankind in the most tremendous way.
It's written about in the Bible. It's like God gave it to us. So it was like a reason. There's all these chapters. And, what was really interesting about Missouri, because Missouri, it does have, I'm not going to say radical, but true believers in their religion. It doesn't matter which religion it is, but Missourians really believe in their religion. And I think now, it was just recently that an experience with someone who had terminal illness in southern Missouri. And they had had asked family and friends and people, they got a little educated about it. And, you know, oh my goodness, once we pointed out the Bible tracts, that was like, I think we started a new religion down there because they're like, God is looking out for you. God is looking out for us. This is something, you know, they see it in print now. And it is like, my goodness, you would think that they just discovered, you know, there was a secret in there because they're really, it's not a secret. It's been kept secret from us, but it's not a secret. So it really has changed things, you know, even going with, from the conservative point of view, conservative right or religious right, whatever you want to call, they've picked up the call and are like, oh my goodness, look at all these references and the highlighter pen coming out. And I get it all the time now. Did you see? And I'm just like, I'll listen. I'm like, oh yeah, look at that. There
they
it
need,
is.
They need to go back to the Bible and look at that burning bush that Moses. I mean, he got the Ten Commandments out of that. Now we know what that bush was. It's quite obvious.
And it wasn't a political leader.
Sorry. That PTSD kicking in there.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was.
But I'm healed.
He was here on the show and you heard it here first. The time just had like amazing. You kept your composure and went in and I watched your testimony, being as I couldn't be there myself, where you had the opportunity to speak and, you know, on behalf of the soldier. Because here we've got some guys that have been, women who have gone out and fight for the freedom of our country. And in 20-some-odd states, they can get access. But, oh, my goodness, you know, you're in another state and you're a criminal. And, like, a lot of these guys are with PTSD, this is not ending well, the interaction between a SWAT team and someone with PTSD. This isn't going over well.
But someone without PTSD.
Or someone without, yeah. Now you have PTSD because of it.
Right.
Yeah. SWAT, bringing PTSD to every American family since their inception. But so that we have an opportunity here to clear it across the board. So for someone who fought, defending the United States, the Constitution of the United States, we're going to just take that tongue-in-cheeky. And
be nice.
But defending, yes, but being a criminal in certain parts of the country. And you've been working hard on getting that medicine available because we just have positive effects.
We're losing an average of over 20, some people are saying now 22 veterans a day due to suicide. But we're losing up to 9 family members, and this sounds insane, but no. Up to 9 family members a day that deal with them because the same type of issue. And I have to say that from my investigation for the last 18 months all over this country that we're making a grave error in judgment by not allowing research to take place with this because it's definitely changing lives for the better. Colorado and Washington and Oregon and California are really good examples. You don't hear of all the tremendous, wonderful things that really have happened in those states. The big thing you should listen to is what you don't hear. You don't hear a bunch of crap going on in those states that there's a lot of trouble being created because people are smoking. They're relaxed. They're enjoying themselves, and it's about time.
And addiction is down. Painkiller addiction is down.
For sure.
I mean, you know, that's really hard to tell because a lot of people aren't going to go out and say, hey, am I addicted to painkillers? But also the oil itself is real instrumental in the withdrawal process and keeping people from withdrawal and replacing as well. And
100% it works.
Yeah.
It really does. I don't think it's going to work for absolutely everybody, but it's got to affect them in a positive way in some degree.
It's well to make this so that every soldier in every state has the option and the respect. You know, that if this is the choice, the medical treatments that they choose, I mean, because a lot of these suicides are happening because of side effects of the drugs they're on. They say right directly on them may cause suicidal thoughts. Not a good thing to put somebody that's depressed, clinically depressed or suicidal on, and that's a side effect. Unfortunate, but true. If you read any of the labels of these things, you're going to find this. But we've been following your testimony, and then, of course, you had a chance to meet with the president and Claire and Matt. The blunt guys, the blunt brothers, nice blunt guys.
I'm going to tell you right now,
Anybody with that last name, blunt, it's like you should for be. Blunt,
no, no, I can't say that.
Nobody will say it. No one is going to say it.
The whole entire legislation in the state of Missouri, I have not got one negative response from anybody. And once you're educating them, they may have some challenges. They may have some they need some things cleared up because they want the best for our citizens of this great state. And that's why they're hesitant, and they're going to be hesitant, and we should appreciate that hesitation. But we should educate them and make sure that they understand what reality is and what we have already found, because so many things are happening for the good. I mean, I can see myself, all the great changes that I experience just from all the people I'm meeting in these, of course, these legal states where it can be tested.
Of course.
Of course. And it's really working. And you see smiles on people's faces, even the caretakers of these people. So I thank God that we're living in the state and we have the people that we do have in our legislation, because they are open-minded enough to listen to it, including the President of the United States. He was very open. And when I brought this to his attention that he needed to reschedule this, it's very important to reschedule it from Class 1 to Class 2 so we can get this research. He goes, we got this. And I really feel that he meant that. And he's a progressive president. And I think as long as we educate the people coming in here, and even the people that's running for president right now are on board. I really think a couple of them are idiots, but most of them are really there when it comes to this issue.
Yeah, you know, I had given a little thought to this. It's like, because it doesn't matter what party you're in, Democratic Party, Republican Party, Independent Party, what progressive party, whatever party you are in. Honestly, they're all ruled by the envelope party.
That's right.
Pushing the envelope, and once you push, honestly, really, I mean, it really boils down to
money.
Yeah, it does. It's so. I honestly think we will start the envelope party, and we will be pushing it starting here today. We are the envelope party, and we're getting really close to having to take a break. So, we're going to start in a conversation now. Eapen is over there being really quiet, but that's the one you got to look out for, is the quiet guy. Eapen with the Americans for. Forfeiture, asset and forfeiture reform. And there's a lot going on there. We're going to go ahead and take a break here because you're listening to the Jaws of Justice here on KKFI. Oops, I'm sorry, 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Thomas. We'll be right back.
This is the Jaws of Justice calendar of events for August 24th, 2015. Give yourself real love. And the Black Healthcare Coalition is sponsoring a Mind, Body, Soul Expo for Women, Saturday, August 29th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Mary Kelly Center, 2803 East 51st Street, Kansas City, Missouri. The expo will feature women's health services, clinical breast exams, blood pressure, and glucose testing, body mass index testing, and more. To find out more, contact GIRL. That's GYRL at 816-651-0044, or email to GIRL, that's capital G period, capital Y period, capital R period, capital L period, followed by VOTP in the lowercase at gmail.com. Missouri will be executing Robert Nunley on Tuesday, September 1st. And the Kansas City chapter of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty will hold their execution watch from 5 to 6 p.m. at a new location, the corner of 39th and Truce, Kansas City, Missouri. The KC chapter of MADP will also hold their monthly meeting after the execution watch, September 1st, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at St. James Parish, 39th and Truce, Kansas City, Missouri. There will be a Community Unity Justice Peace Rally Saturday, August 29th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Freedom Fountain, 4700 Cleveland, KCMO. Guest speakers will be Representative Brandon Ellington, Sakaya, and Maurice Copeland. There will be information available about bus transportation to the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March celebration, or check out www.justiceorelse.com. kansascity.com. And for more information on other activities around Kansas City, go to www.kcloc.com. First Call is offering mental health first aid and youth mental health first aid classes Thursday, August 27th and Friday, August 28th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Salvation Army, 1351 East 10th Street, KCMO. These 8-hour courses will teach you how to help someone who is developing a mental health problem or experiencing a mental health crisis. The training also helps you identify, understand, and respond to signs of addiction and mental illness. For information on cost or to register, go to firstcallkc.org/MHFACK, all in the uppercase. Certification is provided for a full 8 hours of attendance. My name is Keith Brown-Eal, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org.
And you are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Beth Pike, and I also invite you to join us next week here on Jaws of Justice Radio when we find out the who, what, when, and why of the Jackson County Youth Court with host Margot Patterson. And then Jessica will also be returning, and that will be with the author of a report on racial disparities in the application of the death penalty in Missouri. But now we're back to Jessica and her guests.
Yeah, that's an exciting topic to follow. But there is quite a, you know, there is the death penalty's issued out a lot more times. There is actually a study that came out of that, and we will actually be doing a show on it. So we do would like you all to tune in. But here we are back in at Jaws of Justice, and we were just about to speak to the silent one. When Epen speaks, everybody listens. And Epen, what's been going on? First, we did need to let people know. I'll let you say it, although I'm all excited about it. But
oh, yeah. Thanks to the executive action of Governor Jay Nixon.
Well, you got to say Show Me Cannabis really busted butt for him, too.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of people came together and really stood up for Jeff Mazansky, who's Missouri's only life in prison. Marijuana prisoner. And, you know, thanks to Governor Jay Nixon's commutation of his sentence, the parole board granted Jeff parole very recently, and we expect him to be released on September 1st. That's going to be followed on September 15th, actually, in Sedalia by a fundraiser for one of the legislators who was instrumental in building that support, a black Republican from Baldwin, Missouri, which is in the St. Louis area, named Shamed Dogan. Shamed sponsored House Bill 978, which would have released Jeff. And although it didn't make it all the way out through the legislature, just having that bill there and having the support that Shamed was able to gather on the issue was certainly a key factor in determining what Jay Nixon would do.
So I think there were 120 some legislators who signed on to that to a letter that they sent to the governor, along with about 400,000 change.org signatures. That
I did see many. I can't tell you how many petitions that came through in one form or another that I signed myself.
Yeah. Oh, just it's an international story. I mean, this has been in Australia and Europe and all over the United States. And I think we'll get some good coverage again for this success. A lot of people are just people were dancing in their chairs in their office. It was all of us came together for this. And it's really nice to be able to help out the Mazansky family this way. And, yeah.
So even I know, you know, we actually did a show on asset and forfeiture reform. I think the first time that you and I had started was like right around when you first had founded the organization and what that meant for people. And there has been some changes. Mm-hmm. Could you tell
so,
us
you know,
what some of the changes have been?
You know, we haven't been doing a lot lately, but I just in my email just got the brief that we're filing with the Supreme Court tomorrow. We were filing an amicus brief in a case where the government decided that they were going to seize assets of a of a defendant that were not related to any crime that he'd committed. So the issues in front of the Supreme Court is, you know, under what standards the government can seize something that money or property from a defendant where that money or property is not linked to any crime that that defendant's accused of or is convicted of. I can't tell you more than that because we're waiting until tomorrow when we file the brief with the Supreme Court to actually publicize and discuss the issues in that case, but we're very excited.
Yeah, there has to be somewhat of a reform on that when they pretty much do their seizing before mm-hmm. an individual has been found guilty of a crime. But am I correct? I thought that there was a little bit of reform that made it that there had to be a federal action.
You know, earlier this year, Attorney General Eric Holder, who's now moved on, did put out a Attorney General guidance on some of the federal government's asset forfeiture actions. But that didn't really curtail or constrain the scope of what the federal government's able to seize in asset forfeiture proceedings. Although a lot of people when they saw that, they said, "Oh, this is a significant action," but it actually wasn't.
So it's not true that the federal government has to be involved. So states and counties, they can just snatch away.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's state law, and then there's an agency interface at the state level with the federal government, and that's particularly problematic because you have the federal government essentially commandeering state law enforcement to enforce federal law, which is an issue, in a number of aspects. But here in Missouri, there's a distinct sense that. We're not federal here to enforce federal law. The federal government can enforce that on its own. And I think that's a sentiment that especially a lot of conservatives agree with.
Right. So there's got to be a lot of work done on that still. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of not fairness going on in there. And I do know that also I believe it's Show Me Cannabis that had lawsuits pending against organizations. Is that...
Show Me Cannabis was part of some research mm-hmm. into the Missouri Drug Task Forces mm-hmm. about appropriate use of funds for right. whether or not they were, appropriately
being used,
right?
Following
the rules, and a lot mm-hmm. of that has to do with misinformation and education about the cannabis plant, particularly. We are no longer part of those lawsuits. So the Aaron Mallon was the our director of research for a while, and he was working on that project. He's no longer with us, and he's continuing the litigation on his own. But we're here to, change the policy in Missouri, so we kind of, didn't want that distracting from our goal and our effort, which really is to, get this medical cannabis law passed in November 2016.
Absolutely, though. In these groups still themselves, they do need to have a lot of reformation going on. I had thought about, if they could do their research, they do a pre-investigation where they or they'll have informants or they actually will sit and watch or whatever, that you would think that with all of that they could just get a key to the front door. Like when they do a warrant, they get a warrant, they would just get a key and then they would know they have the right address. Because, just recently we've heard so many stories about a family that's injured, someone's killed, a child killed, or a grenade lobbed in, and they're not even at the right address. So there's a lot of issues that really kind of need to be addressed when you're using tactical military forces against citizens. I think it's a really good thing that somebody has to be a little bit accountable. They do have to look at their procedure and their policies with anything when you start using military weapons on civilians. There's just such, and we've heard the results of things, the stories that happening. Someone murdered. Not even at the right address, and someone gets killed.
Seems to me if the situations were truly dangerous, that they actually wouldn't be so aggressive in those SWAT raids. Because you look in situations in other places, and you have to defuse.
Give Barney Fife a 50 cal.
Tom can speak oodles more than we can about it.
I would like to say something here. law enforcement has a very difficult time. You have to walk in somebody's shoes at least not a day, but a couple weeks or a month to really realize what law enforcement and the military and everybody really has to go through when we have to deal with these some of these ding-dongs and idiots on the street. They may be civilians, but some of these people are as highly
well, yeah, but if you got a wrong address and you come busted in their house.
But that really happens so few times. Oh. And I know it does happen, but it really has happened very few times. And I even having been part of all this for a long time myself, over 40 years protecting our country, I can guarantee you that these people really do, for the most part, the majority, I feel they're very attentive in what they plan to do and what they actually do. But when you're kicking somebody's door in, you're kicking in for a reason. You don't know what's on the other side of that door.
Right.
And
sure
I'd rather
right
be
door.
Overpowered on the outside going in because you just don't know. And you better have your ducks in a row and you better be correct. You are 100% right. You make a mistake, you're going to pay the penalty.
Nobody's really having to pay the penalty because they find in their favor.
I have,
and I'm not just saying about. I'm not speaking of drug task force, and it's just plainly in itself. I'm talking about the use of military force against citizens.
It I just want to say I have the utmost respect for law enforcement, and I really personally am looking forward to ending this prohibition so that we can heal the bridge of the divide between citizens and the police that's really across our country right now. I mean, the war on drugs is the biggest way that police and citizens are unable to trust one another. And that goes with the whole problem of classification of cannabis and how we're treating it right now. And we treat it.
Especially when you're going, like, we're talking about PTSD. You're talking, or like, when you've got a situation and a family member calls for assistance. Now we're in a place where you have to rethink calling 911. It's like, is this worth, there's a potential I could lose my life and a good potential my dog could lose its life. And do we call a family member maybe first before you call 911? But you're dealing with, you know, you've got someone who's mentally unbalanced and they're calling for help. And boy, that situation just does not get improved by, you know, tactical force. And I think we can all pretty much agree on, yeah, something needs to be done just to like to make maybe more in the restorative justice, you know, in that way where police are actually interacting with communities, walking the beat as they used to, getting to know the kids in the neighborhood, you know, and, you know, those kind of pieces of restorative justice, which we could argue that for all day long. But just the fact that it needs to be looked at. But hey, Eben.
Right.
We were back at, you know, what you guys are working on and anything that you. Because in a minute here, I wanted to open up the phone lines for anybody that wanted to ask us any brief questions. Because the show just rocks right through, and we just got limited time. Mm-hmm. You know, we need a 2-hour spot.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to follow up on something that Tom said earlier. You know, this year, I think that we can all agree that we really, I mean, the education of people who are uneducated on this topic is such a huge thing, and I really think that this year really hammered home that point. You know, just to be in the legislative conversation, you know, to be at those hearings, and just understand that a lot of these people want, you know, a lot of these people who are elected into office to represent us want to do the right thing, but they just don't have the familiarity with the issue and the comfort level, and that's a really big thing. You know, the issue, you know, the idea that Missourians shouldn't have to should have access in some fashion to this therapeutic substance is something that definitely has majority support. But, you know, it's an issue that, again, you have to build that comfort level with. And you know we have the popular support, but you have to translate that into something that is understandable in the language of political conversation. So one of the things I think that will have a good impact is, you know, I mentioned we're, you know, Jeff Mazansky's getting out and we're doing a fundraiser for the legislator who really stood up on that issue. You know, we're beginning to support legislators.
When is that?
So we're hosting Shamed Dogan and Sedalia at Espola Nightclub on September 15th. You know, it's seats about 200 people. But the idea there was, you know, Jeff Mazansky and his family are well-known in Sedalia. That's where they're from. Mm-hmm. The community is definitely behind them. This case attracted international attention. And they really are all 100% behind the people who stood up for them. And you know, that's not something you see every day.
No, and our own Brandon Elliott. Brandon has just been amazing going along with this issue. But not just this issue. I mean, Brandon is really a purse of the people's politician. I have never, ever, and anybody that I know has been able to ask Brandon to be for an interview or show up in support of something, and he is there. And I, you know, he's somebody that I relate to, just like he's a person, a people's politician. But it's like, I know we have like a lot of these guys that really stood up and came to.
Yeah, Brandon Ellington,
for these things.
Brandon Ellington has really been a champion for sensible criminal justice and drug policy reform issues in the legislature. I mean, that's 100% true. And you know, we're hosting Brandon at a fundraiser on September 16th as well. You know, we're hosting Jeremy Lefevre today, and just the idea is, you know, we need to demonstrate to them that these ideas have more than just intellectual appeal; they have popular appeal. And that translates into, will people come out and support them when they're running for office and defending, you know, these issues? And one of the things here is just that we want to raise the money, but we also want to elevate their profile. You know, the people who've stood up for us deserve to have their names known and their records known, you know, not just in their districts, but around the state, you know, because the people who are House representatives now are probably going to consider running for state Senate or for a higher office or maybe for, you know, city council in Kansas City one day, and or they'll do something with their lives, and they'll go and do something and try to be influential in a different venue at some point. You know, thanks to term limits, but we want to make sure that they know that, you know, this is an issue that they can represent not just now but, you know, in the future.
We really only have about 10 minutes left of this show. But I was going to put this phone number out there because we have three knowledgeable people who can address any questions that our listening audience might have at this point. Is a great time to get answers. So 816-931-5534 is the number to call. If you have a question that you would like to ask any of our esteemed panel of experts, now would be the time to do it. But, you know, and you are talking about, you know, showing these people who are pro and showing them some respect, showing them a little love for the work they've done. I think that's absolutely correct. But our political process, a lot of people feel really disenfranchised, that money buys it no matter what they do or who they vote for. If that side has decided they're going to win, they're going to steal it. And a lot of people are disenfranchised from that. How do you speak to that? How do we say to them, have a cocktail, think about it again, and go vote? What I say does not matter. It doesn't matter how I vote. If they've got it in their mind that somebody else is going to vote, they're going to steal it. Not referring to any presidential election.
This is an opportunity of a lifetime for a young person to get to become a voter, because they're going to actually be able to see what their vote can really do. When we go out on the street and we start petitioning these people to sign these petitions, and we're going to, our foremost thing we want them to do is become a registered voter at that time, and we will supply that paperwork to them to do that. And we want them to see that the political system in this country in democracy really does work. And when that final result comes out, that we have 1,625,210 people for the legalization of medicinal cannabis in the state of Missouri, they're going to know that one of those votes was theirs. And that's going to be a big impact. That's going to affect them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I think you're right. At this point, if anybody was wanting, you know, was going to become a voter, this would be the one issue that they probably would like, okay, I'll go do for that.
Right.
This would be the one thing that might get them involved in the
personal issue.
In the policy, especially when you start seeing people in your family getting ill and you know, knowing there's a better way, but it's not for you, not in this state. Right. Other people can get assistance, get help, possibly even see cures and the improvement of their life, but not in this state.
You know, I think you're right. There is a deep and pervasive cynicism about the possibility even of political participation. But I think on the other side, I think of, you know, from my experience, I've really seen how, you know, individual agency can be profoundly meaningful. And I think that the challenge is always really to just to show people that the possibilities and to and to lead them into places where they can see that their own individual decision, their individual voice has meaning. And one of the ways I think you can do that is but just by, you know, simple human connection. I mean, when you demonstrate, when you show people that, you know, how other interests are linked and how I mean, you know, these are all networks. These are all human networks. And really being meaningful is just finding the right place at the right time. And if you can show people that, and if you can demonstrate that, I think that can give them a sense that democracy, that participatory democracy is something that has meaning and relevance to them.
Everybody who signed a change.org petition or, you know, liked something on Facebook to free Jeff Mazansky, you helped to free that man and made his entire life worth living. I mean, and that is a wonderful example of how all of us coming together can really have an impact.
That truly was, because that took a lot of people to make a lot of noise. It wasn't right. And everyone knew this.
It's hard to get people out of prison.
Oh, Lord. Even if they want to get out, I guess.
Right.
It's like, no, I think I'll stay. But I know we did open. Oh, we do actually have a caller here. And you're on the air, caller. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Blind guy from the Villa Incognito here in Midtown. Yes, I met with the VA back in 2010. In July, they approved. The VA hospitals will write medical marijuana prescriptions in states that have medical marijuana. Now, a few months ago, I called a friend that's high up in blind services. This is how it's all started. And I asked, how's it going for the VA and that stuff? I said, Hoshiak, the program is going good, but they don't like to talk about it. So if you could educate the politician, the people, that a segment of our government, the VA hospital, which does do a good job, is writing prescriptions for medical marijuana, I think that the argument's over. You know, you got to support the troops. Peace out.
Thank you so much, caller.
I have a comment about that.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
That's incorrect. The federal government is not allowing VA doctors writing scripts for any type of medicinal cannabis because it's a federal law against it. A lot of legislators that want to vote yes know that there was a bill introduced that would give a doctor the legally in a state to the right to just talk about it as an option. But legally speaking, federally speaking, any doctor in any state in the United States that says or even mentions an illegal substance is putting their license online. And people just got to understand that. And I'm sorry for the caller. I'm not say anything against him, but I want them to know that the VA wants to help the veterans, and they're doing everything they can, but nobody's writing any prescriptions for any illegal substances right at this time, period.
I know that, well, writing a prescription, the word prescription is, no doctors can write prescriptions for cannabis, because the word prescription is means that it's FDA has regulatory oversight, which that particular word actually held up the Arizona medical cannabis law for many, many years. But there is actually a Supreme Court ruling, or not Supreme Court, but there is a federal court, I think it was appellate court ruling, that does say that they protect doctors recommending it. So there's, but I don't know, within the VA system, it's probably a little bit different.
You have to see a can of doctor outside,
right. Outside
at
of
a
the
dispensary
VA.
For sure. And that goes for anybody, but yeah.
Sue Sisley's doing some really tremendous work on cannabis, as you know.
Well, and as you know, we've run through our hour.
Oh,
wow.
I know it. We're like at that place where we got like a minute and a half to say goodbye. I want to thank everybody that came in today. Ethan Thampy, Ethan, thank you very much for coming and give us an update. Tom Mundell, thank you so much, Tom, for all the work that you've been doing out there. And the testimony has, I mean, you've helped so many people get and open up this discussion, you know, the politicians and other members of military that are feel more comfortable now to discuss this.
It's working.
Yeah, it is working.
Educating everyone is helping.
Amber, thank you so much. Amber with Show Me Cannabis, thank you so much for coming in. And
thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate you, all the work that you do. I mean, it a lot of people don't realize it is quite a job keeping up with the policies that are going in, legislations that's being written. And it's a lot of work. And we'd like to thank you all. I know we're right there. We've got 1 minute. Watch this. Dance out. Yes, you can.
I just want to say one thing. If there's veterans or veterans family members out there that need help, that want to talk about this, go to VFW.org. Check out a phone number for national headquarters and find out where local post is, and try to get in touch with a veteran service officer as soon as possible.
And too, if y'all listen real quick, if you're a Vietnam vet, do yourself like something really good for yourself. And Big Brother, one of the kids coming home now. They may be younger than you, but they need your experience.
Mentoring.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And you've been listening to the Jaws of Justice here at 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City.
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following report comes to us out of Florida, courtesy of NBC.
Is it the verdict that could clear the way for the use of medical marijuana?
We, the jury, find as follows. The defendant is not guilty.
A Hollywood man's criminal charges go up in smoke. And tonight, he's celebrating his victory.
Go home this evening, have a meal with my wife, smoke a fat one before it, and that's it.
NBC6 anchor Keith Jones joins us live from Fort Lauderdale with more on this controversial case. Keith.
Well, at the core of this case, it's a criminal trial. The charges are cultivating marijuana plants. Now, the prosecution argued that 46 plants was way too much for one person for medical needs. They also called into question the medical records, the fact there weren't any for 10 years that showing this guy he was actually medically dire. But I spoke with jurors tonight, and they say they sided with compassion here, and they deem this medically necessary.
This case is about medicinal marijuana and hundreds of thousands of people who can use this medicine as an alternative.
Jesse Teplecki has used marijuana for years, he says, to survive day to day. He suffers from severe anorexia, and without first using cannabis, food makes him nauseous or worse, get sick. State-approved medical marijuana wasn't strong enough, neither was any oral form, so he grew his own at his Hollywood home until last year when he was busted for cultivating 46 of his own plants. His trial ended today with a landmark decision.
The defendant is not guilty.
With hugs for his attorney, who was overwhelmed with emotion, even a kiss on his head, today's verdict sets precedent.
I have cases like this throughout the state. This is a medicine that's legal in half the country, plus Washington, D.C., plus Guam. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't be a Schedule I substance.
Michael Minardi was able to prove marijuana was the only medication that improved Teplecki's condition. A litany of other drugs failed. And the fact so much marijuana was cultivated by one man for one man seemed reasonable to jurors.
He definitely showed it was not for any kind of sales and just for his personal medical needs.
For the first time in state legal history, a jury, not a doctor, not a lawmaker, but jurors decided medical necessity.
Gratifying, I guess. We were trying to just come down on the right side of the law.
In this circumstance, this is, we found what helps.
I hope that this goes ahead and invigorates the state of Florida and all people who are being charged with cannabis to fight.
With legal precedent set for future like cases, Teplecki can now put a year-long marijuana court battle behind him and resume life as he knows it.
If you would like to learn more about jury nullification, I urge you to check out the most recent Cultural Baggage program. It features an interview with attorney Clay Conrad, the man who quite literally wrote the book on jury nullification. It's time to pull the plug on this stupid drug war. Dean Becker, drugtruth.net.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcast on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce Jaws of Justice Radio, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live and find podcasts of our show on the KKFI website, that is kkfi.org. We thank our engineer, Beth Pike, for her work today. My name is Melvin Merritt, asking you to tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Claymer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Beautician Blues with Luscious Lim, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Ho. Stick around for jazz and blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musical.